Jeremiah chapter 18. And in our study of Jeremiah, Jeremiah has spent time around the gates of the city of Jerusalem, telling them they need to observe the Sabbath day to stop and remember God for all the 6 days, and for all the 6 years, and for all of the years. And they haven't done that, and they aren't doing that. They don't intend to do that. So now, having said that, he gives the illustration. Jeremiah leaves the temple and goes southward to the where the pottery and the slopes and that, where the potters make pottery. And he goes in, and the potter is busy making an item, and he watches as the Lord has instructed him. And he sees the potter, puts it down, casts it down. It's a ruined piece of clay. But the potter, having taken it down because it is marred or ruined, he goes and makes it another vessel. He makes it again. Now that's an encouragement to Jeremiah and to the remnant of believers, ultimately. And to Israel, are you listening? And they don't care about such things. Jerusalem doesn't. But, so God then reminds them that he's the potter and they're the clay. Then he goes, and he's going to give an illustration, as we shared, verse 8, 9, 10. What is that? The illustration is that God, he's looking at Jerusalem. Now I want you to stand up on a high hill and look south, north, east, west. And all the nations, they all have been, they were in existence, they are no more in existence, they've been replaced by another nation. And God has done that. And all of those nations had every opportunity to stay in business if they chose to do so. But each time, each nation gets very hardened, as you would expect, and defiant, and thus they are removed. And thus, verse 8, 9, and 10, if a nation will change its mind and do want to go right, like Nineveh, as we shared with Jonah, then God would change, and the thermometer, mercury, all the same measure of mercury, all the same portion. But the temperature can make it go way up and make it go way down. Same mercury. And God responds to the heart of people. Remember, God said, "Seek me with all your heart and you'll find me." So God is looking for the heart when it's all done from Genesis to Revelation. He's looking for the heart. Now, so if the nation would do that, but if a nation won't do that, then they're in trouble. But the nation, no matter how bad anything is, it can get fixed if it chooses to. It needs to choose to do so. Now, and we share together that Jeremiah can't pray for Jerusalem, can't do anything. He just delivers the message over and over again. And thus, God, we share together, that's important. When everything is all done, and everything has been tried, and the person or nations are still alive, they have opportunity to choose and change to God. That's wonderful. No matter how bad, on your deathbed, if you choose, a whole life of terrible whatever, but if you choose, you can choose. No one may tell you anything because you've cast away everything of anyone telling you anything. But if you choose. Now, so having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, and we share together that they just need to do so. And verse 10, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would do, I would benefit them. Now therefore, go to the people and to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. You return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Turn around and make them good. Now, so having said everything, now it is directed with all of that encouragement that Israel is a special nation. All those nations aren't special. Israel is special. So if God would do that to lesser nations, what would he do to his special nation? What would he do for his special nation? Wow. But Israel didn't catch on, doesn't want that. And you'll notice it says to make your ways good, make good, the verb, to shine brightly, to turn around, pleasing, valuable, good, beautiful, profitable, valuable is the word. If you turn around and make it good, make it work, then I'll do all this. But if you won't do it, then I won't do it. And then, therefore, we share together their wonderful response, as it were, wondrous. Verse 12, they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination, the thought process of his evil heart. So everyone's going to do what we're going to do because that's what we've been doing, and we're going to keep on doing what we do no matter. So here we are, and God, and now, and we share together in the last time or so. Remember now, if any nation, a person will turn. The Lord said it how many times? If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. That's enough right there. If I never forget that. God, here you are. If I seek you, it's up to me. Now, having said that little bit, in the light of that, in the heart as verse chapter 18, verse 12, the heart gets very hard and doesn't listen, doesn't want to listen, doesn't want to hear. And remember now, in the process that there's a time to be, well, you catch that, why not? Over to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And you will note, please, if I can get there. And in chapter 55, may I pick up the thought in going directly to verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now that's an encouraging message to whosoever that was thirsty, verse 55, chapter 55, verse 1. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So you're trying to reason everything out, why they should, why they shouldn't, why God should, why God shouldn't. And God says, listen, it isn't up to your thoughts. It's my thoughts, how I think and what I think. Not what you think. Now that's wonderful. God, if I seek you with all my heart, you're going to do what you do. God, help us. So now, having said that, God, because I start analyzing and doing everything, trying to figure out, is it good? I'm not good enough or whatever. And I go through all the routine. It's been so long. I've never had any success or whatever, and I have all my reasons, all my thinking. This is how I always think. And that's because I keep inserting all of that I'm looking to God and inserting all my thinking. I've got to put my thinking on the cross and look to God. It's His thinking and His ways. That's where it is. Fortunately, thankfully. Now, and thus, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And you want to remember, now that's for just anybody. And making it for a believer, Psalm 32. And in Psalm 32, remember David now? David has a wonderful recovery. Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sins, said David, unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto thee. For thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And God, if I just seek thee. So God, if I acknowledge my sin and look to you, you're able to be found. So when I'm missing you, I'm losing out. God, nothing's working. God, there's a time. There's a time for me as a believer. I want to capitalize on that, and that you can be found, and you're there to be my everything if I but trust thee. So now, and back over on our way back, since we did that little bit, over to the book of Hebrews, recalling, keeping in mind, because God said if the nation repent and turn around like Nineveh, then I'll do. If they don't, then they're going to be in trouble. So now, here in Hebrews and in chapter 12, just to recall, chapter 12, picking up, please, for the context of verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail, come short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and there my many be defiled. And you know what happens when you get sour, and you sour grapes, and you talk about things, and you gossip and all that stuff, about anything and everything that nothing is at peace about, and you do it. Then it doesn't make, you know, the illustration easy. We're all sitting at the dinner table, and everything's going good, and the food's reasonable, and then someone gets way off base, and then someone else gets off base. And boy, that spreads. Well, that's what the problem is. It's the same thing in sickness. Do you know, there's a lot of things, diseases and that are very catchy, true? But try to give people health. Try to go give people some of your health. Not your wealth, your health. Try to go, you can. Otherwise, we just walk through the hospital and hand it to everybody. You can. You can give the bad stuff. That's catchy. You can't give the good stuff. That isn't catchy. Now, so here's Esau, and you, as you know, lest there be any fornicator or profane common person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He was the firstborn. He had the right to the blessing, but he would rather, he was hungry. He sold it to his brother Jacob. And sold the birthright. What, to have a little bit of food? He was hungry enough to said, give me the porridge and you can have my birthright. And that's what he did. He didn't think about that. For you know, he didn't think how valuable his birthright was. For, verse 70, you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And he wept, and he begged that he could get it back. But it was done. It was done. Boy, did he get mad. Did you repent? No. You were just mad, you did it, and you want to get it back. Over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 7. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, may I pick up, please, in thought, going to verse 9, just the wonderful section, the man who got disciplined and stuff. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed, that ye sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. In other words, you're going to get your act right, and there's nothing else we need to do. You did it right. There's nothing else you need to fix. 4, verse 10, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be, you don't fix godly sorrow. Hang on, finish it out. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. So you want to understand when you get, a lot of people feel sorry about stuff. And that isn't what you need. I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I did that. That isn't the same thing. The whole other world. And sorry didn't do a thing. It's sorry, that's all right. Nothing wrong with that from a human standpoint. But it doesn't accomplish anything. No, there has to be godly sorrow. And godly sorrow produces. Not just regular sorrow. Esau had regular sorrow and grief. I lost a loved one. And I understand all of that's legit from the world. That's not the same as godly sorrow. Godly sorrow produces something else. It produces a heart change. It keeps you in the right place. Godly sorrow does. The other sorrow doesn't do a thing. Doesn't do it. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, back over, if you would please, to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah in chapter 18. And you would note that they had no intent, verse 12, to change anything. They weren't going to do so. Now, so therefore, we go to verse 13. God is going to help them, because here they are, and they have no intention. They make it clear that the leadership, we aren't going to change. Therefore, verse 13, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, the nations, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Israel was chosen by God to be God's alone and only. They could be for no one else. That's why in their world, that's why they never, their nations, that's why Israel got dispersed and scattered. Israel didn't, oh, it's a nation. Scattered. It can't disappear. Jews can't be absorbed into the world and disappear. They can't do that. They're a special people, and they're for God alone. They're a virgin people. They're His and no one else's. Now, hang on to that wonderful thought. Now, having said that, in verse 13, it's a horrible thing that they've done. Now he's going to give an illustration in the light of nature. Verse 14, will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field, the rocky ledges up there? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Think of Lebanon's up there on the coast. Here's Mount Hermon. If you're looking at your map mentally, here's Mount Hermon, way up there, Mount of Transfiguration. Here's Mount Hermon, and then go over to the Mediterranean Sea on the coast. There's the Lebanon Mountains. And the Lebanon Mountains up in that high, they're called the White Mountain. It always has snow in it. It always has snow, no matter what the year. It's way up there. It always has snow. So now, God said, listen, why is it that nature is very consistent? The snow is there. The water comes down. The rocks are covered with the water. And the waters that gush out all over the world, the waters are there. The waters just flow. Where would pool and springs be without the flow? Wow. So you have all of that water. Water, water, water. And God says, listen, nature's wonderful. Think of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The sun rises and the sun sets. The wind blows and the rain comes and falls and cycles and goes back to the ocean and cycles again. And God, it does all that. That's right. It does it. And humans rise and fall, rise and fall. Israel, it's an awesome thing that you would be so opposing your wonderful relationship to God that you're going down, 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 and you don't care in your apostasy. You don't care. That's a horrible thing. Nature is consistent. Nature, you're a creature above nature. You're above the water. You're above the snow. And the snow is more consistent than you are. The rain is more consistent than you are. You want to be consistent. Loyal, not disloyal, etc. Now, and having said that a little bit, and over to Jeremiah, hold your finger here, Jeremiah chapter 2 for a moment to remind yourself. Jeremiah chapter 2. And remind yourself that in the beginning, God spells it out all the way down the line. And you will notice in chapter 2, verse 11, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for reason, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns at that, that can hold no water. So you try to make big things in the ground to hold water, and none of them hold water. So that's what they do. They're replacing God with the system, which is what they wanted to do, and that's why they're in trouble. Now, having said that, in verse 15, remember now, God is looking, and he said, listen, it's an awesome thing that you would reject God. Now, the nations all have their gods. They don't reject their gods. They hold their god and get another god, but they don't reject their god. They don't want to do that. Thus, verse 15, because the consistency of the nature and the inconsistency of the heart of the people of Israel, because my people, in verse 15, have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways, from the ancient, the old paths, to walk in paths, in a way not cast up. In other words, you're going through the jungle mess instead of going down a highway that is all set for you to go down. You aren't going down a nice constructed highway. You're going through the jungle. You're going through the swamp. You're going everywhere. Why don't you go down the road I gave you? Think of I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that's a constructed way. Plain, simple, clear, no obstacles, no potholes. Right down the road. Now, why don't you go that way? Because broad is the way, etc., etc. We go to other ways. There's other ways. No, there aren't other ways. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, to go down that road, which they should have done. And by the way, we're going to pick it up in a sec here, so why not do it now a little? Hold your finger here again. Remember the paths? I want you to go back in the old paths. And we did it. God keeps repeating the stuff for them. Chapter 6 in Jeremiah. And in chapter 6, you would recall, wonderful section, in chapter 6, thus saith the Lord, chapter 6, verse 16. 6 and 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And when you go that way, you shall find rest for your souls. I just tell you to go the right way, it'll be wonderful for you. But, they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken, listen to me, to the sound of the trumpet, a warning, messages that come from this trumpet. But, they said, we will not hearken. Verse 18, therefore hear, they aren't listening. They're God's people. Therefore, God, you're going to talk to the nations again. I am. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. All you people that live in the world, hear, O earth, and the earth. Verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. They didn't want to hear. So they don't want to hear. Well, hang on. Don't want to hear. Back over to chapter 18. They were to go back to the old road. Look for the road. Don't keep going through the jungle. Therefore, if I can, picking up, please, in the light, verse 16. Now, they aren't going to fix anything. Therefore, verse 16. I'm going to go and make their land, because they aren't going to change anything, to make their land desolate, a perpetual hissing, whispering. Everyone that passeth by shall be astonished or horrified, if you would, and wag his head and say, is this the people of God? Is this where Solomon temples was? Is this where all of it was? And you're looking at rubble and more rubble. Rubble, rubble, rubbish. That's what Nebuchadnezzar leaves it with. Wow. Then people say, this couldn't have been that great city. Do you know, coming up in the tribulation, in Revelation 18, they're going to go, and the world system's building, not only political, but commercial and all of that, and have this great big cosmopolitan thing over there in Babylon, over in that area, and have that big system. And then God's going to knock it down. Boom. And they say, how could that be? Ah. So here we are looking, and the people are going to look at Nebuchadnezzar's, looking at the rubble, the city cast down. And, adding, verse 17, I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not my face in the day of their calamity. I'm going to go and send an east wind from the desert. Where's that? Well, that's Nebuchadnezzar is going to come again and again and the third time, which is we're into the process now anyway of that. He's going to come and level the city. Just like I said, they're going to all whisper and say, could this have been Jerusalem, the Jerusalem of God? Now, and therefore they all of that. Now, God tells them what's going to happen. And God gives an answer to their unbelief. Now, their response, verse 18. They're going to give a response. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Now, having said that, you can't hit God. You can't go after God. You can try, but it's an effort in futility. You can't do that. But you can go after God's man, God's people, and that's what they do. And that's what they did. Now, in order to do that, picking up in thought, just the verse 17 to connect it, I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their judgment. In other words, wouldn't you like to see some help, some rescue? Here's all the earthquake and the hurricanes and all of these things. And people are looking to be rescued. They're looking for water. They're looking for whatever in the midst of their wanting and need. They're looking. God said, in the day that I do it, you're going to look and you won't find me. You won't see my face. Now let's put that together. You aren't going to see my face. What do you mean, God? You're not going to see it. Now, remember now, in Israel's relationship to God and the blessing and the benedictions, over, if you would, to Numbers chapter 6. And in Numbers chapter 6, may I pick up in thought, and you will note, please, Numbers 6, verse 23. Unto Aaron and his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Now, what is the blessing? The Lord will bless thee and keep thee. The Lord will make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord will lift up his countenance, his face, upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. You're going to bless the beginning and ending. That's right. You're going to see. I'm looking at you. I'm looking right at you. I'm going to do it. I'm not looking out at the window. I'm looking at you. I'm going to do this. That's what you get the idea? I'm going to do this. Now, let's get that. Over, if you would, please. You're here in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy, and travel to the end of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 34. And you will recall the wonderful, wonderful statement that God makes. He makes them every little bit about things that are just awesome. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 10. And there arose, remember this is Moses died, and this is the service telling about him. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Now you have to think about that. He could go up on that mountain and face to face with God. That's pretty good. There was a man like that. He looked to God face to face. Not his back. He looked to God. Ah, he had the favor of God. That's correct. Over, if you would, now, having said that, over to a psalm. Psalm again. Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Verse 14, I trusted in thee, O Lord, said David. Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Ah, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. What do you want, Jeremiah? I want to see God's smile upon me. I want to be in God's presence, which we are, and God is delighted to be who he is. So God, here we are. David said, I would make your face to shine. You're right in the same flavor, seat movement, over to Psalm 42. And in Psalm 42, picking up, if I may, in verse, verse 3, my tears have been my meat, my food, day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Where is thy God? That's Jeremiah. Jeremiah's getting clipped. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude, I went with them to the house of God, that's here we are, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. I went, and I did that. And when I did that, I was in the right place, in the right way, for the right reasons. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted and all agitated up? I'm all upset about this and that. Wow, what for? Hope thou in God, have a wonderful expectation, anticipation. The reason, I shall yet praise him. I'm going to look to him for the help, the healing, the wholeness of his countenance. The word countenance is the word face. I'm looking, God, make your face to shine. I'm looking for you, and God, when that happens, boy, that's the beginning of everything getting what it ought to be. Verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him who is the health. And remember, that's the same word as help down in verse 5. And the health of my countenance. In verse 5, it's God's countenance. In verse 11, it's the believer's countenance, the believer's face, and my God. And therefore God, they say in the end of verse 10, where is thy God? They can say whatever they want. And like Psalm 115, our God is in the heavens doing whatever he pleases. And God, say whatever you want. God, I just need to see you. I don't want to see your back. I don't want to see your absence. I don't want the cloud, Isaiah. I don't want a big cloud between me and you. I want the sun to be shining, looking to you, God. That's what I want. That's all. If I have that, I got everything. Everything could be horrible, more than horrible. But everything's all right when I see your smile. Wow. Now, how so? How are we going to find your smile? 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians. And picking up, if I may, you know it, we remind ourselves of it very often. Now, 2 Corinthians 4, I'm going to go directly to verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So what are we going to do? We're going to always lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, because people need to receive him as the Savior. Verse 6. For God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and shined in our hearts. Now think of all this study in angels and all that stuff we've been doing. To give the light shining, of the knowledge of the glory of God. And that's what it's all about. When it starts that way, history is the outworking of it, and it's the end, the glory of God, in the face of Jesus Christ. So when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive the light of the world. And when we receive the light of the world, we receive God. So how far do I have to go? I can look out. I'm in the presence of God, and so are you. The presence of God. Now, God, I don't see. But if my heart's right, and I'm looking based on your word, God, then You are in my heart. You are in the believer's heart. You are there. And so how far do I have to go? That makes the believing heart very, very special. And all the truths and all the principles and precepts of nations and God's word, your word, God, and everything you do are all real. For the normal everything you do with nature and weather and everything. But we're way ahead of that because we're special. How special? How far do I go to get to God? I don't. Neither do you if you're saved. I'm in the middle of God, and God's in the middle of the believing heart. And God, I'm looking to you. How far do I have to go to see his face? Not far. How far do I need to go to find his mercy and grace? Not far. What's going to be my problem? When I, Ephesians 4:30 and that, when I grieve the Spirit of God who's trying to help me see it. It isn't about me. You reckon yourself what? Dead. Stop. So you can see. And God's quite, God isn't looking. We look at all the dead. We look at the self alive, S-E-L-F. We look at all of that. And we live with that, and we work with that, and we maneuver with it. Our imagination, our thought process, Isaiah 55 and that. And we solve all our world and our problems and our things, and we think about work, home, school, play, easy, hard, much, little. And we think of all those things, and our heart gets full of them. And then God, and then we're trying to find you, God, in it. And that's why God, you remember, we shared it 1,000 times to remind ourselves. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God where? In your heart. Don't let him get caught up in the baggage, in the junk. And you'll find he's always there. Reckon yourself dead, he's there. He's there in giving us his favor, and he is. We have his smile. Have his smile. We have that. Wow. So God, it's an awesome thing we have. So David prayed, I don't want to lose you. I don't want to lose you. Don't lose the Spirit of God. I don't want to lose your shining face, God. I don't want to lose that. And David didn't. God blessed David all the way at the end. He blessed him. Wow. He blessed Moses. And here we are. Now, we have a very, very special position. So therefore, I want to exercise that position in a most awesome and wonderful way. Now, over if you would in closing, a little different because of time here. But there's no sense if you don't get what the... Jeremiah is going to win, and he's going to overcome. He keeps overcoming. What does he have to overcome? We read it in verse chapter 18. We read it. And picking up, if I can, chapter 18 and verse 18. 18:18, Jeremiah. Now, what was their response? Come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Nothing. In other words, all the good guys, everyone we got in power and position, priest, prophet, we got them all, counselors, everything. We got good factory and good everything. Come, let us smite him with the tongue. Let us slander him. And let us not give heed to any of his words. Line up your sleeve and don't listen. Sit, but don't listen. Sit, but don't learn. Is that possible? Absolutely. Absolutely. The ears have verified it 1,000 times. Easy. You learn. Sit, listen, but you don't listen. You got to learn. Have an ear to what? He that hath a ear to hear. That's what you want to do. You want to listen. Are you looking for God? I'm looking to see if they have an ear to hear. What was Israel's problem? They didn't want to hear. And they don't want to hear, then you don't have to hear. And you know, without taking time, why not? Over to Isaiah. What I want you to get, to tie it together. Jeremiah, they're going to, in the whole context, they want to kill him. They want to kill him. That's what they want to do. You got to get rid of the guy. You got to kill him. Now, having said that, and Jeremiah knows it, and Jeremiah is going to respond to it, as we'll see. But in the process, it's make your face shine upon me. Well, when that happens, God is going to do what he's going to do in our little lives, and then people don't like that. People don't like you as long as you stay hidden and undercover. But the minute you take the barrel off of the light shines. And people don't want the light, so they want the barrel back over the light so you can't see it. And that's what happened to Billy Graham and all those things, you know. Instead of being at the top of the mountain where he was, could have been, was. And no, you got to come down, you'll reach more people, be a little different in this, a little different in that. And down the mountain he came. And pretty soon, he's in the valley. You could all see him on the mountain. But when he came in the valley, he's lost in the crowd. You get lost in your thinking. Fit into the crowd. That's what, he lost it. Now, anyway, so God, here we are looking, and Jeremiah is just going to get clobbered. So Isaiah chapter 6, I said quickly, and you know it. Isaiah had a wonderful ministry of 40 years. 40 years of ministry. And he was told, and assignment. Remember, he isn't going to have any success. But he goes in the assignment. The assignment is a losing assignment. It isn't a positive one. So chapter 6 of Isaiah, verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of the people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Now, only so far, and then no more. Think of Timothy, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. If he doesn't have an ear to hear, let it go. But take heed, the beginning of that, take heed unto thyself. You only can help people that have an ear to hear. That's all. It isn't that they don't have ears, they don't want to hear. Why don't they know? They don't want to know. How can you be in church for 25 years and still don't know? Because you want hearing. Got to hear. Got to have ears to hear. God help us. So there we are, and I trust you got a little bit. It's a wonderful thing, actually. God, Jeremiah is in great conflict. But you know what? It's no problem. No problem to be a light in the darkness. It's no problem. A God, you're able, and just think of all the ways to say it. If God be for you, what? Who can be against you? Jeremiah, what are you going to do? Are you going to join them? No. Jeremiah says, I'm going to stick right with you. And God blesses him. His face shines upon him. It's very important. And when you go to bed tonight, if you do, or whenever your time is, and you go to bed and you can look up, ceiling or something, and there, and remember now, God, here we are in your presence, and God, you are going to treat us with great favor because of your Son. Where? My Son in your heart. And my Son in your heart is me in your heart. So God the Father and God the Son say, if you don't mind, I would like to be very comfortable in your life, so that it is my pleasure to go from the attic to the basement in your heart and enjoy your life. I want to be at home, John 15:7. I want to be at home in your heart. That's what I want. The rest of it, wow.